Our second scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And this passage marks a turning point in that letter. The first half that we have been sharing in the last 3 weeks builds the theological foundation, proclaiming how God gathers the church, breaks down the dividing walls, and joins us together as one in Christ. And now Paul turns from belief to practice, from what God has done to how we are called to respond. He urges the church to walk in a manner that is worthy of their calling as one body, gifted by Spirit, equipped for the work of ministry and the building up of Christ's body in the world. So let us listen to God's word on this day from the fourth chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, verses 1 through 16. The Greek is translated into English this way. Listen for God's word for you this morning. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts for his people. And when it said he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended in the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. He himself has granted that some are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in our first scripture lesson this morning, when Jesus calls his followers to be the salt of the earth, we might hear that as faint praise. Today, when we describe someone as salt of the earth, we usually mean they're good, dependable, honest, down-to-earth people. Good Kansans, we might say. And it's a compliment for sure, but not exactly a flashy one. Salt feels plain and ordinary, and easy to overlook. But in the ancient world, salt was anything but ordinary. Salt was valuable, so valuable that Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. In fact, that word salary comes from the Latin root sal, which means salt. If a soldier wasn't doing their job well, their pay might be reduced, giving us the phrase, not worth your salt. Salt was also used in religious rituals for purification and blessing and protection. And unlike most things in this world, salt never goes bad. So when Jesus looks at that gathered crowd of ordinary people and says, "You are the salt of the earth," he's not calling them bland or forgettable. He's calling them precious and essential and enduring. He is saying that what God has already placed in them matters for the sake of the world. And we see that same movement echoed in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul begins not with instructions to the church about their programming or their structure or their polity, but with this plea, "I beg that you walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling." And notice where Paul starts. He doesn't say, "Earn your calling." He doesn't say, "Prove your worth." He says, "You already have a calling, and now live into it." And that calling, Paul says, is never a thing that we do on our own. It is not a solo endeavor. We are called to work collectively, to act as one, as the body of Christ. There is one body and one spirit, one hope, one faith, and one baptism. Unity, yes, but not uniformity. Because when Paul goes on, he names the different ways that that calling takes shape in the life of the church as apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are not job titles reserved for a few professionals, but they are functions, ways that the Spirit equips ordinary people to build up the body of Christ. So I want to take just a minute to kind of drill down on these terms and translate them so that we can hear ourselves in these. Apostles are pioneers. They're connectors. They are energized by starting new things, building bridges, imagining what the church could be beyond its walls. They see possibilities that others miss and help turn vision into action. They connect the church to the wider world and help others step into that vision. Prophets are truth tellers and discerners. They ask hard questions. They name what others might see but hesitate to say. Prophets help the church listen for God's voice, especially when it is uncomfortable to hear. They call us back to our values, name injustice, and help us notice where God is nudging us forward. Evangelists are story sharers. They're welcomers in our church. They love connecting with people and sharing why their faith matters. Evangelists translate the good news into everyday language. They practice hospitality. They build relationships. They invite others in and help people feel seen and included. And pastors are shepherds and caregivers. They show up, they listen, they pray, they walk with people through grief and joy and illness and uncertainty. Pastors help people feel known, supported, and cared for in their community. And teachers. Teachers are guides and interpreters. They love helping others make sense of their faith. They ask why and how. Teachers invite curiosity and reflection and growth, helping people see how scriptures and belief shape their daily lives. And Paul's point is not that everyone must do all these things. And I hope that you see yourself in more than one of these categories. But Paul's point here is that the church needs all of them. And here's the key line. All of these gifts are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. We are the saints, you all. We are all called, each and every one of us. in our Bible studies last week and at the officer training yesterday morning, we spent some time discerning which of these roles that we were drawn to, most equipped for, or felt most comfortable in. And it was a bit challenging, and it required reflection and honesty and a willingness to name gifts without minimizing or comparing them to others. But it was empowering, because we cannot walk in a manner worthy of our calling if we never stop and ask what that calling might be and what it might look like in our own lives. So I want to invite you to try this practice right now. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to turn to someone that is close by, hopefully somebody that you maybe don't know as well. And I want you to introduce yourself, to share your name and one way that you believe that you help bring flavor and light into the life of this congregation or into the life of the world. As an apostle, a connector, a builder, as a prophet, a seer, a speaker of truth to power, as an evangelist, one who invites and welcomes and shows hospitality, as a pastor, as a caregiver, or a shepherd, or as a teacher, a guide, or interpreter. This isn't a moment for bragging. It's about bearing witness to that grace that is already at work in our lives. So let's take a moment right now, turn to a neighbor, introduce yourself, and claim these gifts. I'll go first. My name is Kevin, and I see myself as an apostle, a builder, and a connector, bridging people together. Now I'd like you to take a moment where you are and just turn to a neighbor and give it a try. Friends, I congratulate and applaud you for your courage, for going a little outside your comfort zone. And I want to remind you that this is not just small talk. You are practicing naming grace and gratitude for the gifts that you have been given by the Spirit. Gifts that are meant to be shared for the building up of the body to do Christ's work in the world, here in our congregation, in our community in Wichita, in our sister congregation in Placetas, Cuba, and throughout the world. You reminded one another that the church shines not because everyone is the same, but because everyone brings what God has already given them, walking in a manner worthy of your calling. And that brings us back to Jesus' sermon on that hillside so long ago, where he told those ordinary people gathered something extraordinary. That you are the light of the world. Not that you should be that light, not that you could be that light, not that you might be that light, but you are the light of the world. You all are the light of the world. Light that is meant to be seen. Gifts that are meant to be shared. Faith that is meant to be lived out loud. So friends, do not hide your light. Do not tuck away those gifts that you have been given. Do not underestimate what God can do with those gifts that the Spirit has already bestowed upon you. Gifts that are meant to shine in this world. You're seasoned to shine for the blessing of the world, the building up of the body, for doing the work of Christ in this world, in this time, right now. You were made for this. May it be so in your lives, in the life of your family, in the life of this congregation, and in the life of Christ Church. Will you pray with me? Gracious and generous God, we give you thanks for the many gifts that you have placed among us, for voices that speak truth, hands that serve, hearts that welcome, minds that teach, and spirits that imagine what could be. Give us courage to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received. Help us to trust the gifts that we have already been given, to use them with humility and with joy, and to share them for the care of one another and for the healing of the world. By your Spirit, make us one body, seasoned with grace and shining with love for the sake of Christ and for the life of the world. Amen.